slides. It's fun.
Outdoors with John is on the air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Fireside Steakhouse and Lounge in Anthon, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Perrault Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. And not to, I forgot, Oak Hill Marina in Arnold's Park. And I'm not sure how I could forget Oak Hill Marina. They are like, I don't know what you could call that. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of products that they sell there. They've got the tracker boats and ATVs and side-by-sides, Textron ATVs, Nitro Performance bass boats, Alumacraft, Mastercraft, Bennington, Regal power boats, Regency pontoons, Sun Tracker pontoons, Kawasaki jet skis, Yamaha, Mercury motors. Boy, if it floats on the water or crawls around on the shore, they've got it there at Oak Hill Marina in Milford, Iowa. Oh, last month there was a couple guys in Muscatine County had shot a trumpeter swan, which, I don't know, even people that aren't hunters kind of know that the swans are protected and endangered, but you get, and these guys should have known better because they're older, but anyway, on November 17th, DNR conservation officers received a tip that a trumpeter swan had been shot at Cedar Bottoms Wildlife Management Area in Muscatine County. When the conservation officers arrived, all of the suspects had already left the area. Evidence collected at the scene led the conservation officer to the possible suspects. When officers interviewed the suspects, all three individuals confessed to illegally taking the trumpeter swan and mistaking it for a snow goose. Not really buying that. Austin McMillan, 27, of West Branch, Iowa, Daniel Solo Rio Oldenburg, 26, of Cedar Rapids, and Mitchell Kesterson, 28, of Van Horn, were all charged with one count of attempt to take wildlife and one count of abandonment of wildlife. The swan was seized and will be preserved and displayed for educational information outreach purposes. The DNR reminds the importance of properly identifying targets before taking a shot. And it's, yeah, these guys are claiming they thought it was a snow goose, and I'm not buying that. The trumpeter swan is like probably close to three times the size of a snow goose. I mean, anyway, that leads us to our trivia question of the week here. The trumpeter swan is the largest species of waterfowl. And what we want to know is, how big is the wingspan of a trumpeter swan? Is it 4 to 5 foot wingspan, 6 to 8 feet wingspan, or 8 to 12 feet? And the number there is 239-2101. And we're looking for the wingspan of a trumpeter swan. And anybody that's seen them, I guess, I don't know how you could confuse them as a snow goose, other than they're both white birds floating on the water. And trumpeter swans are, I don't know, the reason why they're almost extinct is because, let's face it, they just weren't the smartest bird out there. There's giant white birds out on, you know, blue water, and they never really moved anywhere. They would just move around just far enough to find something to eat and not freeze to death. I mean, even in the winter, they're just what they call social migrators, which they'll fly just far enough south so they don't freeze to death. So a lot of times, like if we have a mild winter around here, all of the swans will just stay here. As long as they got open water and food, they're content.
Yeah, and by the way, another incentive to call the studio for answering the question. The prize package will include a MRE with vegetable lasagna. Yum, yum.
Ooh, awesome. Well, you just disqualified all the military people because it's like, I'm not going to eat that crap again. But the rest of us are like, you know what? That stuff ain't that bad when you don't have to eat it.
No, I had one the other day for lunch. It was spaghetti and meatballs, and it was very good.
Yeah, that one sounds good. Did you clean that one out of your prepper locker? Didn't you?
Of course,
the spaghetti and meatballs. That one's not going to make it out to the trivia people.
No. No, I grabbed it at random out of the box I got at home, and that's what it turned out to be, and it was good.
Yeah, they are actually pretty good. And you say a lot of times you don't even heat them up. You just eat them cold.
Just eat them cold.
Yeah. Oh, they're great, great things to have for laying around in your pickup. You get stranded. That way, if you get hungry or starving, you don't have to poach a swan.
I remember one time I actually did that. I was stuck in a traffic jam in Chicago. Traffic wasn't moving at all. I just sat on the hood of my car and ate my MRE.
Oh, I thought maybe you poached a swan.
No.
I got a cousin that hit a deer with his truck and built a fire in the ditch and was cooking steaks off of it while he was waiting for the tow truck and
the
deputies to show up.
That is hardcore.
It is. And the deputy showed up first and seen what he was doing, and he's commented that it actually smelled pretty good. So so Warren carves off another chunk of meat and starts it for the deputy.
Huh.
Tow truck guy shows up and he's like, "Oh, hey, that's..." So he stuck around to eat supper, and another cop showed up, and I don't know, he ended up making this gourmet meal out in the road ditch out of this deer that he whacked with his truck.
Huh. Who brought the utensils?
Oh, they were just eating it caveman style.
Okay.
He had his pocket knife, you know. I mean, he didn't go anywhere without his pocket knife. He's a true redneck.
What else do you need?
Yeah, and he'd carve chunks of it off, build a fire. Awesome.
Yeah, anyway, 239-2101, the trumpeter swan is the largest species of waterfowl. How big is their wingspan? Now, the options, 4 to 5 foot wingspan, 6 to 8 feet, or 8 to 12 feet. 239-2101, you'll win that delicious MRE.
Yeah, and a trumpeter swan is actually pretty close to twice the size of a snow goose. Trumpeter swans will weigh anywhere from, average 15 to 30 pounds, whereas a snow goose be maybe 7 to 10 for the greater snow goose. So I'm not real sure how you mistake the two. But anyway, these knuckleheads claim to. And it cost them each probably about $1,500 for whacking that swan. So good for them. Earlier this year, and it was kind of interesting, but the longstanding channel catfish record for the state of South Dakota was voided this past spring. The 55-pound catfish was first identified as a channel catfish and was caught on the James River in 1949, and they based this off of the photographs of the fish. The actual fish itself, I don't think, ever made it into the hands of DNR people in 1949. It wouldn't. I mean, at that time, hey, I caught this fish. I'm going to drag it home. I'm going to eat it. Your first thought isn't, wow, this thing's huge. I wonder if it's a state record. But anyway, it had stood since 1949 as the South Dakota state record for a channel catfish. Well, upon examination of photos of the record fish by South Dakota State University fisheries professors, it was deemed to actually be a blue catfish. And then at that time, the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks voided the state record for channel catfish for 2019, hit the reset, they're starting over. And the current record right now was one that was caught this summer from a farm pond that weighed 30 pounds, 1 ounce, which is still a huge channel cat. The catfish that did have the record was actually identified as being a blue catfish, and I looked at the photos and I agreed that it was a blue catfish, but then I'm not a wildlife expert or a fisheries expert. You'd think the fisheries professors at South Dakota State for sure would have gotten it right, and I really believe they did. You see a lot of misidentification, especially on the smaller catfish. People will see a young channel cat and claim that's a blue catfish because the real small channel catfish will have spots on them, and as they get bigger, the spots will disappear. But they both have a forked tail. The easiest way to tell them apart is on the anal fin, the rays on the anal fin or the little spikes on it. The blue catfish will have between 30 and 35 anal ray fins, and then if it's under 20, under 30, then it's going to be a channel catfish because they're usually running from, they say, 24 to 29. So that's the true way, because your catfish will all kind of vary depending on the water they come out of in the overall color, and under ideal conditions, To make things worse, blue and channel catfish can hybridize. So, hey, takes fun of it. We get an answer on the trivia there.
Scott, yeah, Greg Walls of Sioux City correctly guessed 6 to 8 foot wingspan.
That was Greg Walls?
Yeah.
Okay. The 4 to 5 is actually the wingspan of a greater snow goose, which is still a pretty big wingspan. You know, you think about it, for a bird that might weigh 6 pounds. You know, the snow geese are pretty much all wings and beaks. Trumpeter swans are too. But yeah, their wingspan is 6 to 8. The 8 to 12 foot wingspan is that of the largest flying bird in the world, which is the wandering albatross, which flies around in the southern oceans of the world. You know, they call it the Southern Ocean now. It's not the Arctic Ocean. So I don't know why they had to rename it. I suppose to confuse people. Maybe nobody wants to go to a place called Arctic. You know, who the hell wants to go to the Arctic Ocean? That sounds cold, don't it? We go to the Southern Ocean. Well, it's nice and warm. Maybe that's because all the damn glaciers are melting. I'll bet that's it. Oh, let's see. Ooh, things coming up. Not really a lot coming up. As a reminder, last week we did the drawing for the Heritage Revolver, and the winner was Travis Anderson of Sergeant Bluff, Iowa. The 22 ammo was won by Brian Weisler of Sioux City, and Richard Wills of Sioux City had won the duck call. So, and those items are down at the shooting shop in Anthon, Iowa, ready for them to pick them up. And if they can't make it to shooting shop in Anthon, they can call and they can just call us during the show here, take a message with Scott, and we'll make arrangements to get the stuff to you. So, last week we talked about some of the strangest things in history that they'd used for currency. Our trivia question was actually whether or not the claws and snouts of squirrels was used as currency. The squirrel pelts were used in the Middle Ages, and then they also used the claws and snouts for pocket change. But some of the other things they had out there are beads, of course, you know, the early, you know, settlement of America, they used beads or wampum beads to trade to the Native Americans for stuff. And the craziest one there is that the legend has it, you know, that the Dutch settlers had traded these beads to the Indians for Manhattan Island, which is kind of crazy because they actually did give them beads, but they gave them to the wrong tribe. the tribe they actually traded with wasn't the ones who lived on the island. You know, it's kind of crazy. It's like somebody, you know, somebody comes up to me and looking at Scott's truck and says, "Hey, I'll give you $1,000 for that pickup." I said, "Yeah, sure, not a problem." Take your $1,000 and run, and then wonder why Scott's pissed when they're in there trying to get the door open. I don't know. It's interesting. But I think that was the first evidence of anybody ever acknowledging any kind of land ownership in the Americas. Because most of your Native American tribes, you know, I mean, had like territories and stuff, but they didn't accept the principle of actually having land ownership. So when they offered to buy that from them, I suppose it was a strange deal. Other than it's like, oh my God, look at these beads. Which, you know, I can see that, you know, because one of the other the strange ones was whale's teeth. They would use whale's teeth for currency. And that one, I kind of think that I could see where that one would catch on, because that would be something that would be kind of a little bit hard to come by.
Well, and the other thing is there are different sizes. So, you know, different values, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose the first guy who whacked a whale and drug it up on the belt bank, you know, and people are looking at that and it's like, oh, look at those teeth. Yeah, you want one? Sure. All right, well, I'll trade you your hut for one. Okay. And it's game on. And actually, in the Fijian Islands, they used the whale teeth up until the time that they adopted paper notes earlier in this the last century, actually. And in order to convince people that the notes were worth something, authorities had to have whale teeth inscribed on all of the bills. Because otherwise it's like, well, what's this thing? What's it? Well, no. I don't. Do you suppose that when they first started there, they had to have a pile of whale's teeth in the depository? You know, kind of like they used to do here with our currency, where they'd have a pile of gold representing, you know, what the dollar was worth. Don't know. But anyway, ooh, we're way past time for the break, aren't we, Scott?
Yeah, we'll be right back. 1360 94.9 KSCJ.
What you need when you need it at Baumgartner's. Value, yes, indeed. Guaranteed at Baumgartner's.
Bag the bargains at Baumgartner's. With 20% off regular price from 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. today. Just walk in the store nearest you, and they'll give you a large plastic bag you can fill up with 20% off regular price bargains of your choice. With a few exceptions, anything that fits in the bag is 20% off regular price. You decide what's on sale at Baumgartner's today. In clothing, tools, pet, auto, and seasonal. With 20% off. Plus, check this week's flyer for hot specials. Good through Monday. If you don't have one, go to Baumgartner's.com and browse it online. There's a bag full of bargains and big deals on the big stuff, too. And we're open late till 8 at Baumgartner's today. Don't miss it.
What you need, when you need it, at Baumgartner's.
A holiday poem by Famous Dave.
'Twas the night of the party. Hungry guests filled the house, and all you could hear were oh yes and wows. For what to their wondering eyes did appear? Famous Dave's barbecue. No cheese balls this year. Tender beef, juicy pork. Just one taste told them why Famous Dave's is so famous. And they piled their plates high, then finished with famous desserts. Mmm, delicious. The guests had more fun, and the host fewer dishes. So let's plan your party, any budget or size, whether 10 or 10,000, we'll customize. Just call Famous Dave's for great barbecue. Then you'll have a great time and a famous one too.
And our gift cards make great stocking stuffers. So come on into Famous Dave's
for the most award-winning Jingle Bell ringing barbecue in America.
Receive a $5 reward card with every $25 gift card purchase now for a limited time at Famous Dave's in Sioux City at 201 Pier Street.
Things are merry and bright at A Step in Time Florals. They have a beautiful variety of poinsettias, gorgeous fresh pine arrangements, or bring in your own holiday container for A Step in Time to fill with fresh flowers. Right now, all Christmas decorations in the greenhouse are 60% off. Shop the many gifts and decorations, including Christmas wreaths, festive signs, nativity sets, angels, and snowflakes. A Step in Time Florals, located at 3230 Stone Park Boulevard in Sioux City.
It's our little gift. A Step in Time.
Live boxing returns to the Winnebagoes Event Center on Friday, January 17th. Showtime presents Showbox, the new generation, featuring some of the best up-and-coming fighters in the world. Showbox features live televised bouts with world-class boxers and undercard matches that feature top prospects and the pro debut of local fighter Shaylin Joseph. Tickets are on sale now for just $20. Showtime broadcasts live inside the Event Center Friday, January 17th. It's just more fun at Winnebagoes Casino Resort.
Big John. Big John.
Some of the other strange things in nature used for currency, the whale's teeth, along with them, dolphin's teeth. And there's actually still parts across the Solomon Islands where they use dolphin teeth today, still for currency. And the overall recorded number of dolphins killed for their teeth from 1976 to 2013 was more than 15,000. No, that'd be a lot of cash. I don't know how many teeth a dolphin has. I don't know what the rate is. I mean, you go to the Solomon Islands and you trade in your U.S. dollars for dolphin teeth.
Good question.
I don't know what the rate of exchange is, because when you go to any of these sites, I couldn't find the rate of exchange for dolphin teeth to U.S. dollars. So you're going to be at the mercy of the dude at the airport when you show up there, right?
Boy, that's a good question.
Yeah. And also, they gave the number of dolphins killed for their teeth, but they don't mention how many are killed, in the tuna fishing industry. And when they used to whack the dolphins along with the tuna, would they pull the teeth and then head to the Solomon Islands for a vacation? It'd be like a free vacation, wouldn't it? Be like winning a game show.
Huh.
And I think that's why dolphin doesn't taste near like it used to. Like when we were kids, I used to like the tuna. The tuna tasted always so much better, and I think it had more dolphin mixed in it than it does now. Because now I think they replaced the incidental dolphin in with the meat with, like, medical waste. Maybe.
The other thing is tuna used to be packed in oil, and now it's packed in water. Just not the same.
Yeah, and I can't eat the crap that's packed in oil, though. I won't buy it. If it's not water-packed tuna, I don't know. That oil, to me, it just seems kind of toxic. Maybe not. Okay, another strange one is in the mid-1600s, during the early decades of the English settlement in Newfoundland, currency was almost non-existent, so people began accepting dried cod in exchange for goods. The codfish. It's like, wow. I mean, who would have come up with that other than, you know, the fishermen probably had the market on things to eat there. And it's like, yeah, what we're catching here, we'll use this for currency. All the other people have to bow down to us. I don't know how they decided that. But anyway, they actually used dried fish as currency. And supposedly in prisons today, they use canned mackerel as a currency. And they call it mac. And no one really knows for sure how the fish achieved such a status, apart from the fact that one pack of the mackerel costs about $1, and nobody wants to actually eat the canned mackerel. So I don't know. I've never been to prison. If anybody out there has been to prison, maybe they can help us out on that.
Yeah, I thought the currency in prison was cigarettes.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I wonder... Well, I mean, let's see. If a pack of dried mackerel costs about $1, then I suppose you'd have to trade like 5 mackerels for a pack of cigarettes then, right?
Sounds good. I don't know which would be worse for you, the cigarettes or the mackerel.
I don't know. They should probably do a study on that. Anyway, one of the strangest ones I seen was, they call them raw stones, and they're huge wheel-like pieces of rock. They carved them out of one of the islands in Micronesia, but the island of Yap. On the neighboring island, they had limestone, so they would go over and they would carve these huge stones, and the largest were up to 12 feet tall and weigh several tons, and they would just place them on the island, and they would actually stay in the same spot. And ownership would change over the years on who owned the actual stone, and they would use it for large purchases for like property and things like that. And but if you spent the stone would actually stay, for instance, in front of your house, but the ownership would belong to somebody else. And the value on the stones was set by, number one, how big they were, and number two, how many people died during the transport of the stone. So if you got a big stone that happened to knock a couple people out of the boat while they're heading to the island of Yap. And I suppose if these guys contracted people to go get the stone, and they're, I don't know, they got the stone carved, they got it on the canoe, they're about a mile offshore from Yap, and the dude just throws a couple of the other people overboard and holds them under so that the stone will be worth more. Probably. Bird feathers were used as a currency too, and the ancient Mayans in Central America used the green and blue feathers of the, I believe it's spelled Quetzal bird, Quetzal. I'm not big on my Spanish, but well, that's pre-Spanish anyway. But anyway, it's a tropical bird there that has a unique green and blue feathers to it. And the Mayans actually used these bird feathers to purchase gold from other tribes. So in order for them to use the feather to get the gold, they would have to accept the fact that the feather is more valuable than the gold. Which is weird, because when the Spanish showed up in Central America, their genocide over the Mayans and the Aztecs wasn't to get the bird feathers. I think they were pretty much after the gold. Cocaine is one of the, and it's kind of a natural thing, I suppose. They kind of revine. But anyway, there's places in the mountains of Colombia today where cocaine is actually more convenient to use as currency than actual currency. But yet there's not a cocaine problem there in Colombia, is there?
Of course not, no.
All right. Hey, looks like we're officially out of time.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.